This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, December 17, 2017. The Third Sunday of Advent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
He who calls you is faithful. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Today is traditionally the day when we lighten up Advent a tad, and we enter into Gaudete Sunday, which is Latin for rejoice. The first words of the Mass today were, "Rejoice always, I say again to you, rejoice." We are approaching a season that for us should bring us indescribable joy, but not a joy that is generally defined by the world. The world defines joy at, I don't want to hear hands, or I don't want people yelling out. Define joy. Happy. Happy is a synonym of joy, can be. But when our Lord speaks of joy, it's like when he speaks of peace. It is in peace context, a peace which passeth understanding. Our joy is the same thing. It's just not being happy. It is, by definition, an emotion evoked by well-being or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. That's not a stodgy theological definition of joy. That comes from Webster's. And it's the first one. It's not like number three or four now. Think about that. Joy, an emotion evoked by well-being. We can all pretty much grasp that one. But how about that prospect of possessing what one desires? When you start delving into that aspect, that joy comes from the prospect of possessing what one desires, you start to understand that joy can even be present when you're not happy. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweat drops of blood, because he was sorrowful unto death about what was going to happen to him. Sorrowful unto death. But he did it out of the joy of loving us. He did it out of the prospect of possessing what one desires. What did our Lord Jesus Christ desire? He desired the reconciliation between us and God. He joyed in what he had to do, but it wasn't happy. And it was actually hard, to the point where, I've never been so stressed out that I've sweat drops of blood. I would hazard to say that most of you have not. That is a biological anomaly that happens when people are under tremendous stress. It's documented medically. Our Lord Jesus Christ was under that much stress, but he did it because he joyed in the prospect of possessing what he desired. That's us. Now, we are supposed to emulate our Lord Jesus Christ in this world. So when we drive around during this time of year and we see the signs, joy to the world, the banners, joy, joy, joy. For us, it means something more than being happy, because you know what? This time of year is not happy for a lot of people, particularly if people have lost loved ones in the past year. It can get all that much better if you lost them 2, 3, 5, 10 years ago. Christmas is a time when things start to get dredged up. The pictures come out. Memories come. Remember when this person... It's sad. We as Catholics cannot let sadness overwhelm us. We must present that we are little billboards for Jesus Christ. And being little billboards for Jesus Christ, we have to understand that there must be an outward presentation of this joy that is within us. We cannot be walking around looking sour and gloomy and ill-tempered. With that being said, little footnote, I'll be the first one to raise my hand. Have bad days every now and then. What I'm talking about is your pervasive character. What you present to people, generally speaking. It cannot be sour, gloomy, or ill-tempered if you are in union with Jesus Christ. It cannot be. It cannot be. It always interests me because a lot of people, when they visit here, I've actually had people remark on it. When I heard about how it was, I thought the people would be, I hear the word stodgy a lot. And then they're dumbfounded. They're dumbfounded when people hang out for hours in the parish hall after Mass. They hang out and they fellowship because they have a joy within them. When we are in here, we act and present a certain ethos, so to speak. Why? Because we're joyful. We come in here and it's quiet and we're attentive and we're reverent because we joy in revering our Lord Jesus Christ for what he did for us. We come in here and we bend the knee and we present to him an understanding and an outward manifestation of the gravity, how tremendously important and how unhappy some aspects of our salvation are, like the cross, like the scourging, like the crowning with thorns. Name your sorrowful mystery. Those were not happy things, but they had to take place for our eternal salvation, which is when we receive the utmost of joy. We're working toward it. We need to start manifesting it in this world. Because it doesn't matter what circumstance in which you find yourself, you should be thankful. I throw this one out a lot. People ever get the heads kind of snap up. When's the last time you gave thanks for being sick? When's the last time you gave thanks for one of your kids being sick? How about giving thanks for losing your job? But giving thanks when someone dies. That's ridiculous. Not according to the Holy Spirit. Second reading today. Give thanks in all circumstances. In all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I despise when Catholics will refer to a certain condition in life. That's not God's will. Then whose will is it? Whose will is it if God is not in control in the situations of your life? Whose will is it? It's God's will. The Holy Spirit tells us here. All circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That does not mean it is his will that people do you wrong. It is not his will that you are in a position where outward influences take their toll on you. But you got to remember the story, for instance, like Joseph and his brothers. His brothers conspired to kill him. And then they just lightened up a little bit and just sold him into slavery. All right? Thanks, guys. All right? They sell Joseph into slavery. Then decades later, they're confronted by him. And they are distraught. They think that he's going to drop the hammer on them. And he looks and he says, "You meant it for evil, but God used it for good." God doesn't will that people do evil things, but he in his glory and his omnipotence can use those things positively. That is what the scripture is telling us here. That is why we should give thanks in all circumstances. Every time we come to Mass, every time you say a rosary, how many times do most of you say the Lord's Prayer every day? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, a lot of times when we say that, I point out quite frequently, that is the hardest part of that prayer to say. And a lot of times when we're saying it, it might just be a lie. I don't mean a self-conscious lie, but you might not want God's will to be done. You kneel at a sick child's bedside and say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You might not like what his will is, but the Catholic knows that it is will, and he knows that omnipotent, loving God knows better than we do. He knows what we need. He knows where we need. And let's not be selfish about this. Let's not be selfish, because a lot of times we just want, because of our fallen nature, we want our way. I don't want to miss this person. Just this past week, had a family from California call the office. This woman was talking about her deceased mom, 94 years old. Lived a tremendously faithful life. Nothing but piety. And the woman was crying almost during the whole conversation. And she kept apologizing. He said, stop apologizing for crying. Your mom's gone. But throughout the crying, she was talking about her mom's faith. And she talked about the example that her mom was to her entire family. She was so thankful that a Catholic church across the continent would say, yeah, of course, come on, we'll memorialize your mom. She understood faith and integrated it with her sadness. She did not let the sadness overwhelm her. When we let sadness overwhelm us, that throws a big question mark into our relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything that I'm saying doesn't mean you walk around with a goofy grin on your face, as I always say. But it means we don't let sadness overwhelm us. If sadness overwhelms you, two things are going on. You're failing to accept God's will, and you're being selfish. That's not me saying that. That's the ancient church fathers and throughout church. Because if you really think about it, the end of overwhelming grief, not sadness because we should be sad frequently for a lot of things. But when sadness overwhelms us, when it becomes debilitating, I can't get out of bed this time of year because I just think about this and that. Problem. Tremendous spiritual problem. We cannot let sadness overwhelm us. I can't work. No, you can't. You can't work through it. He will. Our Lord Jesus Christ says in John chapter 15, without me, you can do nothing. This is a supernatural grace, this supernatural joy that we feel, that we can bring forth in times of the most horrible circumstances. Again, not walking around looking silly, but to understand the gravity of the situation, but putting it in context of what God wants for us right then and right there. I deal quite frequently with people who are going to lose a loved one, and they always apologize for what they're going to say. They say, I know this is wrong, but I just wish the Lord would take them. There's nothing wrong with that at all. That's an acquiescing to God's will, a will that you probably know is going to happen anyway. But to think, particularly if the person's a person of faith, that person at least they're going to have eternal glory. Last time I looked, that's why we're all here, right? We all want to go to heaven. Okay, we all want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. It's our human nature. But when we understand heaven, that joy comes forth, that we are not overwhelmed by sadness. As I said at the beginning of this, we are billboards for Jesus Christ in this world. We have to manifest this joy. How often do you hear when you tell people this, that, or the other, don't judge my heart. You don't know what's in my heart. Yes, I do, because it's on the outside. You walk around looking ill-tempered, sour, gloomy, whatever, morose. All right? You walk around like that. That's what's inside. That is what's inside. and you need to fix it, you need the joy of Jesus Christ in there. And then that tempers this sadness. And it is a prolonged, continuous process. We are to exhibit what's in here. Because I say no. Because that second reading says that we are supposed to manifest this spirit, soul, and body. I don't know why it's so negated in our day that there is a necessity of bodily engagement with our holiness, bodily engagement with our sanctification. We should speak a certain way, not while you're in church all the time. God doesn't care what I say. They're just words. Yes, he does. It actually says it in here. He cares what comes out of your mouth. Yeah? Don't just dress nice and modestly in here. Do it out there. You're not impressing anybody in here. You got to do it out there. That's called evangelism. That's what changes people. When they see you so different, so radically different, that's when you're a billboard for Jesus Christ. That's your evangelism. We have to appreciate that. We have a responsibility to outwardly project this joy that is within us. This is the reason for the joy. Started out with this line, and it's the last line of the second reading today. He who calls you is faithful. The Greek word that is translated faithful in that part is in the tense of continuity. He who calls you, not called you past tense, not as just calling you right now. He who calls, called, calls, will call, it's continuous. Jesus Christ never stops calling you to this joy that he wants to share with you. He never stops calling, but our response to his calling can cease. It can grow cold and it can just out and out cease. That's what we have to watch. He does his part, we do ours. He who calls you is faithful. And he will do it. Do what? Provide you with the graces. Provide you with the graces to not be overwhelmed by grief. To be able to present the joy that should be within each and every one of us, particularly at this time of year. We are the ones who are the example. We just have Christmas because it kind of puts it up in our face annually. We're supposed to be like this every day. The banners, joy, 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 joy to the world. We should have that in our hearts, and it should be there in June, July, August, whenever, not just at Christmas time. We should exhibit this joy. I shouldn't say we should, we must. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.